Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
I can tell you campaigners have rounded on social media company Meta now that it has lowered the minimum age for WhatsApp users from 16 to 13 in the UK and in the European Union. The change was announced in February but came into force on Wednesday. But critics of the move say the giant tech company is putting profits before protecting children. I'm joined on the line now by Professor Barry O'Sullivan from the School of Computer Science at University College Cork, and also by Alex Cooney, who's CEO and co-founder of Cyber Safe Kids. You're both very welcome to the programme. I might come to you, Barry, first of all, and ask you to explain the age limit change and why you think they've done it.
Yeah, so obviously most apps have an age at which it's recommended that people start using them. Often, for more mature apps, this can be 18 or 16. For many apps, it's as low as 13. So there's a few things here. There's a couple of different things going on here. I suppose one question, one issue that we need to sort of think about is, you know, what do the apps do with the data of the users? And so obviously when you're young, what you share, what you talk about, that's going to be used by these companies for all sorts of purposes. And under the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, there's a thing called the Digital Age of Consent, which is the age at which a person can consent for them online. And particularly consenting just simply means consenting to one's personal data being processed. And in Ireland, that digital age of consent is set at 16. It's 16 in many European countries. But internationally, it tends to be set at 13. So for example, in the US, it's 13. So probably what Facebook are doing, or Meta rather, are doing here is trying to, I suppose, apply one single standard to the entire world. But of course, the issue is not that simple, because really behind the scenes here, we have to ask the question of, well, why do you want this data and what are you going to do with this?
Okay. So what the kids now at 13 can do on WhatsApp and on Meta, Alex, and what can be done towards or directed towards the kids as well. Let me read you a statement from Meta we got on this afternoon about the age limit change, and you might comment on it. You can't search, they say, for users you do not know. You need someone's phone number to connect with them. And the first time you get a message from someone outside of your contacts, we ask you if you want to block or report them. Users have full control, they say, over who can add them to groups, and a robust set of options to control their profile visibility and security features. Users are not required to provide a profile picture or any information in the About section of the user profile. So Meta seem to be suggesting that they have protection covered here, Alex.
They don't have protection covered. First of all, there is already a very large number of underage users. So they've lowered the age from 16 to 13. But in fact, according to our data, 39% of 8 to 12-year-olds had a WhatsApp account when we surveyed them last year. And that certainly looks consistent with the data that we are gathering this year, too. So it's very popular with children, and they tend to use it in its sort of group format. So, you know, number of kids coming together. And obviously, there's text chat, there's content shared on the app. It's not a social media app. It is an instant messaging app. So there is a difference. But we do have concerns about it. We've seen quite a lot of bullying on it in terms of comments shared, content shared. You know, we've seen children being excluded from different groups. There's also a feature called chat lock, which enables children to hide conversations if they so wish. So if a parent is checking their child's device just to keep an eye on things, they might miss content. We also know that, you know, a conversation with a potential somebody who's trying to groom a child might start on a gaming platform or a social media platform, but then can often be moved to a more sort of private communications type platform, because of course this is end-to-end encrypted, so it is absolutely private, and a lot of inappropriate material can be shared and hidden on it. So there are indeed concerns in relation to child
users. Yeah, but what about Meta's points here in the statement? They say the first time you get a message from someone outside of your contacts, we ask if you want to block or report them.
But if the grooming has already happened elsewhere and they're moving, you know, grooming is all about building a relationship of trust and manipulation. So it may not be quite as straightforward as just deciding, you know, and there may have been threats around, you know, stuff that's already been shared to, you know, to be shared further. So children don't always have all the tools that they need to make decisions like that in the moment.
I do understand, but
sort of built up trust.
So there's an inherent risk in being anywhere online, isn't that right? Or connecting with the outside world in any way, I suppose, some of the tech giants would say. So what say you to that?
For children, yes. I think we have to look at children separately here. So a lot of these online services are problematic for children. You know, for all the great fun and entertainment and benefits, there is also this real downside for children being online.
But when we were debating the digital age of consent, which you said, I think, at 16 here, you thought that was appropriate or younger at the time?
So CyberSafe Kids, along with a lot of other charities, the ISPCC, the Children's Rights Alliance, we argued for 13 because our view was that as good as it sounds that, you know, you might keep children off at 16, we knew that that was not the reality, that so many children were signing up underage. So we didn't want more children to, A, lie about their age, but B, to actually remove onus from these companies to put safeguards in place for children. So if they said our minimum age is 16, so, you know, we have no one under that age on our platforms, because they were only required to make reasonable efforts to determine the age of the child. So there's no age verification or age assurance.
That works. If that's the case, Barry, the only way maybe to really keep kids safe is do what they're doing in Florida and Ron DeSantis and ban social media for all under 16s.
Well, I think we need a balanced approach. I think it's important these days that kids have access to online platforms for all sorts of reasons. You know, we are in a digital age, so it's important that they do have access to these things. The question isn't really about the kids' access or whether they're telling the truth about their age. It's really about the responsibilities of these absolutely enormous companies. Like, let's not forget, Meta is a company that, you know, that really is makes true the statement of John Lennon's claim back in the 60s that the Beatles are bigger than Jesus. Meta is bigger than Jesus in the sense that there are more users on it than there are, you know, subscribers to the Christian faith, right? So this is an enormous company. But yet we don't have, they can't provide a mechanism to verify the age of its users. They don't seem to wish to, spend significant thought in that, because, you know, in reducing this age, it would have been great if they could come along and say, well, and what we're going to do in order to understand the age of our users is the following. And that's really missing. And I think if the online world was a bar, you know, basically there's a doorman who asks you as you walk up to the door, how old are you? Well, I was born in 1971, therefore I'm, you know, whatever it is, 53 or something. Well, off you go. Obviously this person is a 9-year-old child. I think there really needs to be investment put into, and really some serious thought put into, how do we verify the age of people online, not to prevent them from accessing it, but to make sure that when the younger they are, the greater the safeguards are in place to make sure that they're protected. I really don't buy this idea that, I don't think the argument that having someone's phone number is a safeguard, because
I just wonder,
I'm not
though,
sure about you.
I know where you're going with this, but let me put this back to you. When Norma Foley, the education minister, wanted to get some guardrails for to protect young people online, and she was approaching tech giants in this country to say, will you work with me on this? She basically, I'm not saying she said this, but my impression was that they shrugged their shoulders and said, we're not really sure we'll work with that in principle. So where do you go from there?
Yeah, well, I think this is where one needs to put, you know, there needs to be pressure put back on these companies that, and, you know, there's all sorts of mechanisms for doing that, I think. Certainly public opinion is a very strong one. We see that these companies have a very tender underbelly when they get things wrong. I think people do really respond. And I think this is one that people do need to think carefully about and do need to respond on. It's not about whether people have access, it's about how are they going to be protected.
Okay.
And you see, what happens, how do kids get around it? They get around it by lying by their age. And of course, that puts them in danger, because then there's no safeguards, there's no sort of shallow end to that swimming pool for them to paddle in. You know, it's the same depth for everybody, regardless of whether you're a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old. And I think this idea that having a phone number is in some sense a safeguard just really isn't true. Like, I'm not sure how you're experiencing these sort of things, but I spend a lot of my time trying to remove myself from groups that I never, ever joined and never consented to join. And I think that's going to happen more and more. And just one last point, I think, Under the Digital Markets Act, this new piece of EU legislation, lots of companies are going to have to open up their platforms to third parties. So the number of users of these platforms is going to massively increase. And so other messaging platforms will need to have access to WhatsApp. WhatsApp will need to have access to other platforms. And as a consequence, the sort of surface, the number of people that are exposed to children massively increases. And I think that there needs to be some serious consideration given to safeguards in that respect as well.
Folks, we'll definitely come back to this for sure, but we'll leave it there for the moment. Professor Barry O'Sullivan of UCC and Alex Cooney, of CEO and co-founder of CyberSafeKids, thank you as well.